we present The Third Degree, coming this week from the University of Surrey.
Hello, I'm Steve Bunton. Welcome to The Third Degree, the quiz which is a students versus lecturers competition. Each of the students is studying one of the three subjects taught by the three Dons, so as well as questions on general knowledge, there'll be specialist subject rounds as well. It's an original quiz, although given that it's for students, we didn't actually write it. We just went online and cut and pasted some questions from the Brain of Britain website. This week we're at the University of Surrey, which came 11th in the Times Good University Guide and is particularly strong in scientists and engineers, probably because they all read the 11 as 3 in binary and applied to come here on the spot. Surrey has lots of famous alumni, including Radio 4's very own Jim Al-Khalili, former leader of the House of Commons, Sir George Young, and ITV's Jeremy Kyle. So, if you ever need someone to separate two sets of squabbling dysfunctional idiots, you know who to call. Former leader of the House of Commons, Sir George Young. So, now let's meet the teams, and first from the students.
Hi, I'm Samantha Pierce and I'm studying politics.
You're studying politics. So what do you want to do when you've studied politics?
Well, I'm hoping to go into something with foreign affairs, hopefully the FCO, and the dream would be to be an ambassador.
Where do you fancy being ambassador to?
Well, one of the hardship postings is where I'd want to start and then hopefully end up in the USA.
You want to start in a hardship
yes.
posting? What would be a hardship posting?
Somewhere like Angola or somewhere like the Middle East, hopefully.
Okay, I won't pursue that any further, or we're going to be heading into deeper waters than this show is accustomed to. So let's see who's matching you on the Don side on the subject of politics.
I'm Dr. Simon Ushwood, and I'm a senior lecturer.
Splendid. So next up for the students.
Hi, I'm Andrew Jones, and I'm studying business and retail management.
Business and retail management. I have to ask you, do you watch The Apprentice?
Yes, I do.
Does it have anything whatsoever to do with business studies?
Every now and then.
That's terrifying. And facing Andrew on business studies.
Hi, I'm Professor Andy Aircroft and I'm deputy head of the business school here at Surrey.
And finally, for the students.
Hi, my name is Marfi Jelly. I'm in my final year of physics.
Physics?
Yeah.
So, well, what's the plan for your physics career?
I'm looking to go into geophysics and then work for an oil company.
You're going to work for an oil company?
Yeah.
Possibly in a country where Samantha is the ambassador. Some lucrative deals on the cards. And facing you on physics is...
I'm Paddy Regan. I'm the National Physical Laboratory Professor of Radionuclide Metrology.
That's a splendid job description. You've got to pause for your job title there. That's a very, very good start. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our teams for this week. So, our first round is a general knowledge round. You work in teams. It's 2 points for a correct answer, 1 point for a bonus, and no points for sticking the question on Surrey secret admirers and just hoping someone will reply. So here goes, and we'll start with the Dons. What is the name given to the area in Suffolk near Woodbridge, which was the site of a series of major discoveries of Anglo-Saxon burial mounds, one of which included an entire ship?
I think it's Sutton Hoo.
You think it's Sutton Hoo? It is Sutton Hoo. That is the correct answer. The fact they stashed a ship in the middle of a hill may indicate that even 1,500 years ago, they were worried about global warming. So, we go over to the students. Traditionally, when someone famous or important has died, the flag or flags over official buildings are lowered to make room for an invisible flag of death. What is the technical term for the position of the lowered flag?
Half-mast.
Half-mast is the correct answer, yes. So, the Dons. Which abstract expressionist painter, famed for his canvases, which are often just two or three rectangular blocks of contrasting colour, also created the interior of a famous non-denominational chapel in Houston, Texas?
Simon.
They're swapping names of abstract painters now.
Klee is my suggestion of an answer. Paul Klee.
Is wrong. So I can offer that as a bonus. Should you be up on your abstract expressionists?
Is it Rothko?
It is Rothko, yes. Very good. And that brings us to the students. According to the most commonly accepted figures, two countries between them contain almost two-fifths of the world's entire population. Which countries are they?
India and China.
India and China is right. Yes, they have between them roughly 1.3 billion and 1.2 billion people, respectively. Of course, the most densely populated area of the globe is the local Wetherspoons during Freshers' Week. Can you name a Shakespeare play with a title of more than one word where every word starts with the same letter?
The same letter.
The Tempest?
Absolutely correct. There is one other. Can you name the other one?
Is it Love's Labour's Lost?
It is Love's Labour's Lost, yes, very good. That brings us to the Don's last question. If you start with a molten gathered from a lair, blow into it, snap off the moil and put that back in the lair as gullet, what are you doing? And I'll give you a clue, you're not commanding an orc army in The Lord of the Rings.
We think you're glass-blowing.
You are glass-blowing, yes, very good. So that brings us to the last question of this round for the students. Wikipedia is just one of a number of types of websites known as wikis, meaning quick, but in what language?
Welsh? The founder's Welsh.
No, it isn't, which means I can offer it to the Dons as a bonus.
It's Hawaiian.
It is Hawaiian, yes, very good. Ignore the urban myth that says Wiki stands for what I know is. That is not true. At least I don't think it's true. If only there was some sort of website we could look these things up on. And that brings us to the end of the first round, at the end of which the students have a slight lead with 7 and the Dons have 5. We move on to a specialist subject round where our first matching pair, Samantha Pearce for the students and Dr. Simon Usherwood for the Dons, go head-to-head on the subject of politics. During this round, please do not applaud correct answers. Just shout, yeah! Or shame, depending on which side you support. Just to remind you the rules, if a Don can't answer their question, it goes over to the student for a bonus. But if the student can't answer, there is no bonus for the Don. It's what we like to call the single transferable bonus system. So we'll go with Don's first question. Simon, today is not a day for sound bites, but I feel the hand of history upon us. Who said this and on what occasion?
That was Tony Blair at the signing of the Good Friday Agreement.
It was, absolutely correct, yes. Next, in June 1992, one of the member states of the European Union voted to reject the Maastricht Treaty, which was intended to give birth to the euro. Which country was it?
In 1992, it was Denmark that voted against.
It was Denmark voted against, correct. It was a very close result. A margin of just 0.7% of Danish voters rejected it. 0.7% of a Danish voter equaling roughly one Sandy Toksvig. Next, can you name all of the Gang of Four that broke away from the Labour Party in 1981 to form the SDP, or Social Democratic Party?
I won't say yes, I can, and leave it at that. But I guess you actually want the names.
That sadly wouldn't quite.
There would be Shirley Williams, Roy Jenkins, David Owen, most famously of all, Bill Rogers.
Absolutely correct. Very good. So that brings us over to Samantha and your questions on politics. If an MP declares they are taking the Chiltern Hundreds or becoming bailiff of the Manor of Northstead, what are they actually doing?
Taking the floor of the House?
No, they're resigning. It's a technical way of resigning because they're not allowed to resign, so they have to take a paid office under the crown. Politics is full of useful terms to cover unfortunate or humiliating events. Spending more time with your family, tired and emotional, and of course recently defecting to UKIP. Next, the Haganah, the Irgun and the Lehi were the names of three resistance movements of varying legitimacy in the struggle for independence of which modern Middle Eastern country? Question to the British ambassador.
Yemen.
It isn't. I can't give a bonus on this, but do you know, Tom?
Is it Israel?
It is Israel, yeah. And finally, Samantha, what is the two-word phrase for the strategic doctrine espoused by, among others, President Eisenhower to express fears about the expansion of communism in Indochina?
Domino effect.
The domino effect is correct, yes. And that brings us to the end of that round, at the end of which I can tell you that the students now have 9 and the Dons now have 11. Our next round is a list round, a sort of intellectual beat the clock, where each team in turn has to name as many things as they can in a particular category that I shall give them all within 30 seconds. Every time they get one right, they will hear this modest and understated sound, calculated not to disturb a high-speed train of thought. If they get 8 right, they'll get an extra point and an immodest and overstated round of applause. So here goes. First, the Dons, and your category is 5-letter countries. Countries with 5 letters in their name. You've got 196 countries to choose from, going all the way up to the longest name, which is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, with Scotland just about hanging on by a thread. So, 5-letter countries, and your time starts now.
Egypt, Italy, Wales,
China, India, Chile, Papua. No.
Ind.
Niger.
Sudan.
Egypt. Ghana.
Well done, that was eight.
Gabon.
Great. Very good, flying out of the blocks there. Interestingly, four of these five-letter names are from the Pacific Islands. Samoa, Tonga, Palau and Nauru. You have to have a short name to make sure it fits on the canoe, you see. So, we come to the students. Now, your category is physicists who have won the Nobel Prize. That is the Nobel Prize for Physics. Going all the way back to 1901, there have been 199 of them, and your time starts now.
Einstein, Bohr, Heisenberg, Dirac,
Higgs.
Oh, come on.
Doing well?
Oh, no.
Maxwell.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
Hawking.
Schrödinger.
Time's up, and you have six. Very good. You could have had Marie Curie and indeed Pierre Curie. They come as a pair. Also, Richard Feynman and Marconi and Fermi and various others. But six is very good. Erwin Schrödinger won in 1933. And nobody knew whether he won or not right up until the moment the envelope was opened. That was good because I didn't know whether that joke was both funny and unfunny until it was performed. So, so the scores, the students now have 15. The Dons pulled out just a slight lead with 20. So, time for another specialist round where our next pair, Andrew Jones for the students and Professor Andy Agcroft for the Dons, answer questions on business studies. Yes, we're going to action a few questions and quantize the results going forward. And we will start with Andy. Which organisation produces the UK's ABC1, C2, D and E social grade classification statistics, essential reading for marketeers?
Oh, yes, that would be very important for marketing people. You're right, yes. So it wasn't a true or false question, was it? No. Is it the Market Research Society?
It isn't. No, I can offer that as a bonus.
Department of Work and Pensions?
No, it's NRS, the National Readership Survey. It's been around since 1956. A, B, C, 1, C, 2. It's been around a long time. An easier way to think of it for a modern audience is think of it as BBC 4, BBC 2, BBC 1, ITV, ITV 2. So, Andy, dog, cash cow, problem child and star, or rising star, are four terms used to describe a company's products according to market share and market maturity. What is the name of this growth share modelling tool?
It's the Boston Consulting Matrix.
Absolutely right. The BCG Matrix, or Boston Consulting Group Matrix. So that brings us to Andrew and your questions on business studies. Often attributed to Tom Peters in his 1982 book, In Search of Excellence, what is the management technique that is commonly and informally abbreviated to MBWA?
MBWA.
MBWA.
Make work better actions? I don't know.
I'm tempted to give you half point just for being able to make up an acronym at that speed. I do feel you have a fine fuser in business studies. Believe it or not, it's management by walking about. I think it means you need to get around and meet your employees and stuff. It's not management by watching The Apprentice, which some people think it is.
I wish I'd come up with that one now.
Yes. Next, originating in America and now happening in the UK, in the way of these things, what is the nickname given to the day traditionally regarded as the first of the Christmas buying season where retailers offer large discounts and which often leads to chaotic scenes in stores?
I'm not sure, but is that possibly Black Friday?
That is possibly Black Friday, yes. Very good. The whole point of it in America is that it's the day after Thanksgiving, so it's sort of like Boxing Day. And since we don't have Thanksgiving here, for us it's basically just random media hype, cheaper shopping for no apparent reason for a bit day. So, yes, I think we're stuck with it now. So that concludes another round, at the end of which the students have 17. The Dons still same distance ahead on 22. But that can all change because the next round is called Highbrow Lowbrow. We want to know just where the intellectual level of our contestants is pitched. So if you hear about someone enjoying a magnificent Bruegel and wonder whether it's toasted with cream cheese, then I should go lowbrow. But if a student risks going highbrow and gets it right, they will get 2 points, not one. It is, of course, the other way round for the Dons. Your opposite number has to answer the question you didn't pick. It's simpler than it sounds, so here goes. We will start with Samantha. Your subject is salt. Now, would you like to go highbrow or lowbrow on salt? That's not really the question.
No, sorry, I'm just thinking which one I want. I'll go highbrow.
Highbrow, OK. The highbrow salt question is, who led the Salt March of 1930 as a protest against British colonial rule?
I should know this, and I don't.
As long as you don't become ambassador to India, that'll be fine. It was Gandhi in protest against the salt tax. That leaves Simon with the lowbrow salt question, which is, why is the most basic flavour of crisps called ready salted and not just salted?
Because in the old days, they used to have a little sachet of salt that was separate from the potato chips, which didn't have any flavouring, and then you had to make the salting yourself, and then they did it in the factory, hence ready salted.
Beautifully explained and absolutely correct, yes. Yes, it was a marketing ploy by Golden Wonder in 1960 to distinguish their crisps from the ones made by Smith's, where, as you say, the salt came in a blue bag. And they decided already salted, as opposed to already salted or pre-salted or salt you done, lazy crisp or just couch potato. That brings us to Andrew. Your subject is fictional lands. Fictional lands. Would you like to go highbrow or lowbrow?
I'm going to go highbrow.
Excellent. OK. The highbrow fictional lands question is, what is the fictional county created by Anthony Trollope in his 6-novel cycle that began with The Warden in 1855 and made famous such characters as the hypocritical Obadiah Slope and the dreadful bishop's wife, Mrs. Proudie?
Avonshire?
It's a very fine guess, but it is purely a guess.
Yeah. Is it that obvious?
It's Barset, it was called, and the town was Barsetshire. There are a lot of well-known fictional counties. There's Thomas Hardy's Wessex, there's Kenneth Tynan's Loamshire, and there is, of course, Tolkien's land of pipe-smoking, status-conscious, property-owning creatures, Surrey. So I grew up here, I'm allowed to say that. So that leaves Andy with the lowbrow fictional lands question, which is created by George R.R. Martin. And I think Andrew's now kicking himself again. He's going to have bruised shins. Created by George R.R. Martin in his fantasy novel sequence that led to the HBO TV series Game of Thrones, what is the fictional continent where most of the action takes place?
Ah. Is it Westeros?
It is. Westeros, yes, very good. Excellent. You so knew that, didn't
you?
Yeah. That brings us to Mafuj. Your hint is Wham. Wham. Highbrow or lowbrow on Wham?
Lowbrow.
Lowbrow. Okay, the lowbrow question. Who was the more famous half of pop duo Wham?
Can I just say a random name?
You can say a random name, yes.
Michael.
You are 50% there.
Oh, OK. I'll say another random name.
Is that really a random name?
That was completely random.
Right, OK. Well, that's half right.
Baxter.
I'm so tempted to give you half a point for getting half the name there. It's George Michael, which I'm sure the Dons all knew. That leaves Paddy with the highbrow Wham question, which is, who painted Wham with two A's? I'll give you a clue. Wham is a vast diptych, two-panel painting in comic strip style of two jet fighters with one firing a missile at the other.
I have absolutely no idea, so... I know it's not George Michael.
Or even just Michael.
Or even Michael Baxter. Even. I will say Jackson Pollock.
It's Roy Lichtenstein. So that was the students, which now brings us to the Don's first choice. Andy, your theme to ponder is Tiger Books. Tiger Books? Highbrow or lowbrow on Tiger Books?
Because I am well known for being down with the kids, I'm going to go lowbrow.
You're going to go lowbrow. You won't regret it, because the lowbrow Tiger Books question is, what is the name of the children's book by Judith Kerr, first published in 1968, which has sold over 5 million copies?
I think that would be The Tiger Who Came to Tea.
It is The Tiger Who Came to Tea, yes. That leaves Andrew with the highbrow Tiger Books question, which is, what is the name of the book by Jan Martel, which featured a boy adrift on a lifeboat with only a Bengal tiger for company?
I'm hazarding a guess because it's the name of the film. Is it The Life of Pi?
It is The Life of Pi, yes. Very good.
Thank God for that.
Very good. Life of Pi made into a very successful film in 2012 with Ray Spall and Gerard Depardieu, and using a lot of CGI to create the large, intimidating beast for whenever Depardieu was too drunk to turn up on set. Finally, Paddy, your hint is bass notes. Bass notes. Would you like to go highbrow or lowbrow?
I think I'll go lowbrow.
Oh, splendid. Good. Right, we'll look forward to this. Your lowbrow bass notes question will require you to listen to this.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys chase. All the right junk in all the right places. I see the magazine working out Photoshop. We know that.
Yes, huge summer hit, of course, which apparently sings the praises of having a large behind or bass, although controversially does it by berating, and I quote, skinny bitches. What is the title of the song and who is it by?
I know it's all about the bass, and I can't remember the girl's name. I can picture her.
I see you there on YouTube watching. Yeah.
Yes.
The artist is Megan Trainor. Megan Trainor, much like a conscientious resident of a council that hands out 4 different recycling bins. She has all the right junk in all the right places. Now that leaves Mafuj with the highbrow bass notes question, and that will involve a listen to this. That was an aria from the 1782 opera Die Entführung aus dem Serail, in which the singer playing Osmin hits what is regarded as the lowest note required in the operatic repertoire, a D 2 octaves below middle C. Who is the opera by?
Mozart?
Is correct. So at the end of that round, what has happened after all that is that the Dons have pulled ahead by 1 further mark. The students have 19, the Dons have 26. And time for our final specialist round, where our third pair answer questions on the subject of physics. We will begin with Paddy. Which physicist invented what may be seen as the first ever particle detector, the cloud chamber, receiving the 1927 Nobel Prize for his work?
Carl Anderson.
It isn't. I can offer that as a bonus.
Bohr?
I beg your pardon. Oh, sorry. I simply mean. No, it is Charles Wilson, the Wilson Cloud Chamber. Next up. According to Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, it's impossible to measure the value of 2 conjugate variables with an accuracy of more than Planck's constant divided by 2 pi. One such pair of conjugate variables is momentum and position. Can you name another pair?
Energy and time?
Quite correct, yes. Or you could have had angular position and angular momentum. This gives me an opportunity to quote the famous joke about Heisenberg driving in a car and being stopped by a traffic policeman who says, did you know you were doing 90 miles an hour? And Heisenberg said, oh, thanks a bunch. Now I've got no idea where I am. That's the second quantum mechanics joke in the show this week. Don't say we don't cater for niche audiences. That brings us to Mafuj, and here are your questions. What is the name of the material that has been postulated as making up over 84% of the universe and being responsible for gravitational effects that can't be explained any other way?
Dark energy.
I'll accept that, yes, dark matter or dark energy, which is much like a student audience at a dull lecture, doesn't respond to any form of sound or light, and 84% of it isn't actually there. Next up, what name is given to the apparent movement of nearby stars with respect to stars further away due to a shift in the location of the observer?
Parallax?
Yes, I'll give you that. Stellar parallax is correct, yes. Which brings us to our final round. It's a quick-fire round. 1 point for a correct answer. Lose a point for an interrupt if you get it wrong. As soon as they know the answer, the teams must buzz with their buzzer or bell as fast as a fighter pilot in a Liechtenstein painting. So, here goes. What word, meaning a collection of classical musicians, is an anagram of cart horse? Simon.
Orchestra.
Orchestra is correct, yes. What do Brazil, Angola, Mozambique and Guinea-Bissau all have in common? Paddy?
Their language is Portuguese.
Their language is Portuguese, yes, very good, quite correct. Which American actor who died in 2014 specialised in unglamorous and troubled character roles and won an Oscar for his title role in the biopic Capote? That's Andrew.
Is it David Seymour Hoffman?
It's Philip Seymour Hoffman, but I'll give you that because you're behind. Next up, can you name the two elements in the periodic table that begin with the letter Z? That's Samantha.
Zinc and zirconium.
That is our politics student getting the science question right. So there you go. Which army corps are known as the Sappers? That is Andy.
That's the Royal Engineers.
It is the Royal Engineers. Very good. Who in the nursery rhyme and playground game is traditionally found on a seesaw? Simon.
Marjorie Daw.
Marjorie Daw, yes. Seesaw, Marjorie Daw. Jolly shall have any master. The Gleiwitz incident is the name given to an operation where Nazi soldiers attacked a German radio station dressed in the uniforms of the soldiers of another country to create a pretext for the invasion of that country, which was what, Simon?
Poland.
It was Poland, yes, correct. In a restaurant, what is the alternative to prefix? Simon again?
A la carte.
A la carte. We're getting an indication of your lifestyle, Simon. And finally, the pop group McBusted is composed of former members of two bands. One of them is Paddy.
McFly and Busted.
So you know McFly and Busted and you watch Meghan Trainor videos. Liking your style. So that brings us to the end of the show. The students have a very creditable 25, but the Dons have beaten them to it with 35. Very good performance there. Commiserations to the students who would have won our special third degree neck pillow that automatically inflates whenever a lecturer opens a PowerPoint presentation. That's all for this show. Thanks to both our teams, to you at home and our audience here in Guildford. That's it from the third degree. Goodbye.
That was the third degree, coming this week from the University of Surrey. The chairman was Steve Hunt. It was devised and produced by David Tyler, and the programme was a positive production for BBC Radio 4.